Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois. The voice of the Tri-County.
It is.
The voice. Today, I have with me a very special guest.
Thank you so much.
Yes, special
with
guest.
With a special host.
With a special host.
Yeah.
Pastor Brent Meyer. Welcome, Pastor Brent Meyer.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here.
Now, should I call you Pastor Brent Meyer? Should I call you Pastor Meyer? Or what should I do?
Just
what?
Call me Brent.
Call you Brent.
Yeah.
All right. You can call me Chris.
That's our second interview now. I think we can be on first name basis.
That's okay. Right. We are on first name basis. And Brent, you are retiring from the First Baptist Church here soon.
I am. June 30th is coming fast.
Yes. Now, when did you decide you were going to retire?
I decided actually way back in February. We've been thinking about it for quite a while. I've reached that age in my life, and my wife is on the church staff with me as an interim youth and children's minister, Patty.
You're working together?
Working together, and we've been doing it for a long time, and just where we were in our lives at that point and where our passions were, our energies were, feeling like, you know, 13 years is a long time to be in one place.
Yes.
I was 13 years in the church that I came from when I came here. So that's a 26-year period of ministry just between the two churches.
And you've been doing this for how long?
40 years. I graduated from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky in 1984. And so I've been doing this since 1984. So it's a 40-year run. My wife's been doing it 42 years, I think. So between us, there's like 80 years of combined ministry.
Now, what's your wife's first name?
Her name is Patty.
Patty.
Yes.
And you and Patty met in church?
We met in seminary.
In seminary?
We met as students in Louisville. And we dated for a while there, but we didn't get together. She went and did ministry in Virginia for 11 years, and I came back to Indiana and did ministry. And then we reconnected. She moved to Indiana to do ministry, and we got back together again and fell in love and got married when we were both 38 years old.
Yeah.
And had our children when we were in our early 40s.
Okay,
and,
good.
And so we're...
That's hope for my four single children.
There you go. Oh, yeah, because I was like the Mr. Confirmed Bachelor, you know?
Right.
The last church the church I was in when Patty and I got back together again was... I was like 35 when they called me, and they were worried about this bachelor pastor. And how are you? Do you know how to do laundry? And do you know how to cook? And do you know how to? Which I don't, and still don't. But anyway, but they were worried about me. So me and my cat.
Yeah. Now, so you're 38 when you got married.
Yeah.
All right. What was your mom? Was your mom still living then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
what was she saying about you? Every time she saw you, hey, when are you going to start dating a girl?
No, my mom she just liked having me. She liked
to her house.
I was kind of a mama's boy. I'm confessing this on WJBM. If anybody knows, we'll tell you that. So,
do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have a sister, Sharon, who lives in Terre Haute, Indiana, which is my hometown.
What's Sharon do?
Sharon works at Indiana State University. She's an administrative assistant in the communications department there.
I see.
And that's the only family really I have left in Terre Haute. Everybody else has passed away or moved on. So she and my niece live there.
Now, do you have any children?
I do, yes. My son, Adam, is 24, and he's a graduate of Bradley University in Peoria with a degree in psychology. Right now, he's getting an associate's degree at Lewis and Clark in cybersecurity. He wants to do computer work. And my daughter, Elizabeth, is just graduated from Eastern Illinois University in Charleston with a degree in speech communications disorders and also Spanish. She's going to be a bilingual speech therapist. And she's just started her master's degree at Eastern, and she is going to be an amazing – they're both just amazing children. We're so blessed to have them be able to, you know, we're like 44 and 45.
Yeah.
And we finally had both of them in our arms, and it's all worked out exactly as God planned it to work out. My life is, I've told people I stand on a mountain of answered prayers, and I'm just as blessed as I can be. I wouldn't change a thing. God's had his hand on me from the beginning. When I was in my mother's womb, he saw me there. I was fearfully and wonderfully made, and we've been on the journey together from then. I made my profession of faith when I was 12, and yeah. That's when I came to Christ and gave my life to Christ. And then I was called to ministry. It was sort of during college and then after college when I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. I got a degree in political science, which actually prepares you well for life in the church because there's so much politics. I didn't realize how much that would play into it. So anyway, God knew. But I worked for a congressman for a year.
You did?
Congressman John Myers in Indiana. And I did a little work in Washington, D.C., and then I worked in his district office in Terre Haute for a while. But that was when I was really feeling called to ministry, and so that's when I went to seminary and began that journey.
Hey, Kate, I just want to touch on that a little bit, mm-hmm. You know, as far as being called and following God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that's hard for a lot of people to accept that. But can you kind of help explain that a little bit for somebody that's maybe going, I don't know, you know, I just they feel kind of like they're in la la land about what direction to go.
It's an interesting balance between God working in your life, you know, you individually figuring out what you're going to be doing. But it was also a lot about the people that God put in my life, especially my home church, Terre Haute First Baptist Church. People who would say they saw things in me. Have you, about gifts or skills or whatever, have you thought about being a pastor? Have you thought about ministry? We need young men and women going into the ministry. And I realized the place I felt most at home, the place I had the most fun being, was at the church. And I thought, well, I have this skill set. I love being at the church. I love working with
people. Yeah, but when did you realize that?
I was probably 22, something like that.
Because you'd already worked in D.C. a little bit, mm-hmm. or coming up.
Yeah, I'd already done I'd already gotten my college degree, and I'd already worked in D.C., and I'd worked with the congressman for about a year, and I realized that was not really what I wanted to do with my life long term. And I started visiting seminaries, and the pastors at Terre Haute First Baptist all had a kind of a link to Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's where I ended up going.
Okay, in your profession as being a pastor. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you first got started in the position, you started in being this, what are some things that happened that you didn't see coming? Can you recall any? Like you didn't think this was going to happen?
Well, I started out primarily in, I felt very called to be a youth minister. Uh-huh. That's what I'd done a lot of in my home church. And so I started out being an associate pastor at First Baptist Church in Plainfield. And I saw myself being Mr. Youth Minister and Christian Education and that kind of thing. And God had another plan for that. I did that for about 2.5 years. And when that ended, I really felt, no, I think I really would rather be a I think I want to be a pastor. I think I want to be preaching on a regular basis and taking care of a flock, and not just the youth, but the whole shebang, as it were. But I think he used the time I was in youth ministry to prepare me for that next step. So, but I don't think I saw that being my primary thing until it was time, and then it was.
And then once you started that position of taking care of the whole flock,
yeah.
Was there any curveballs, anything that surprised you?
I think the magnitude of it, the weight of the responsibility of being a partner shepherd with Jesus in terms of caring for a flock of people, the wide range of needs in the lives of people,
yes.
The brokenness in families, the demand, because the right hand doesn't always know what the left hand's doing in terms of how the congregation is calling upon the pastor to do this and do that. Nobody sees, and that's okay, they're not supposed to see, but nobody knows how many different phone calls you get, how many different crisis situations you're drawn into, how many secrets you have to carry.
Okay,
you know.
give me this.
I can't give you secrets, Chris. No. I'm not telling you the secrets. It's not allowed. It's in my contract.
Okay, no secrets. I don't want the secrets. What I want is I want you to go through for others, okay, that are listening, go through a typical day of a pastor.
Oh, my.
I mean, just pick one out. Just one typical day.
Well, what the fun thing is there's really no typical day. Exactly. You can start off thinking I'm going to do A, B, and C, but you end up doing everything else but A, B, and C because the phone rings. This person comes in your office you didn't expect to see. Oh, you got meetings you didn't expect. That's one of the exciting things I find about ministry is you
so
always
every day,
have...
Wait a minute. So during the day, in the morning, you would put down the list of things that you
I've
wanted to do?
I've got my list of things mapped out for the week.
For the week.
I have every day kind of like these things have to be accomplished on these days to get to the sermon on Sunday. Because no matter what you do, there's always the sermon on Sunday. As soon
always
as you preach the sermon on Sunday and walk out of the pulpit and people say, that was amazing, or they don't say anything at all, it's time to write the next one.
To get ready for the next one.
So you're always the week is about preparing what the message is going to be and, you know, getting all that going. You got to follow up with so-and-so because they had surgery. You got to call so-and-so because there's a death in the family. You've got to meet with this committee because they're planning the next big event. With the dinner church that we have, I've got to be right at getting the story I'm going to tell about Jesus every Wednesday night. A lot of times I sing at dinner church too, so I'm practicing the solo. You know, there's just a wide path. And I've been able, you know, being here long enough in the community, a lot of times the funeral homes will call me to do a funeral, not for somebody from the church, but just somebody needs a pastor, you know. So I've been able to connect with a lot of families in the community that, you know, that's been something I've been able to do and get to know people that way. But that takes a lot of time too. So the week is crazy, and I have spent many a Saturday at the First Baptist Church all by myself when it's finally quiet and the phone's not ringing, getting done what needs to get done for Sunday and catching up for lost time or whatever. That's what you do.
Can you share with us just maybe one crazy thing? Some crazy thing that happened to you in your course of being a pastor that you never expected, and it's kind of funny.
Crazy thing that happened.
Any crazy things happen?
Let's see. Crazy things that happened. Oh my gosh,
there's no way I've stumped you.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to think. There have been so many amazing things. I've been.
Give me one. Give me one good thing or one thing off the cuff.
I'm really blessed to have. Oh my gosh, one of the biggest things was in the church in I served in Bloomfield.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was turning 50.
Yes.
You just talked about turning 50.
Yes.
And I was up at the parsonage doing some cleaning, and my wife had taken the kids on an errand or something. And I got a call from somebody that there was a crisis at the church. That this and this gal from the church was weeping on the phone saying, "You got to come down. This is not good." And I get down there, and it's a surprise party for my 50th birthday, and the place is packed with people, and there are people there from other churches I served, and a community theater group I was involved with someplace else, and they had me do sing a song with some folks that I'd sung music with before, and Pat, my wife had pulled this off with folks from the church, but it was one of the most amazing, totally caught, even though I saw cars parked in the parking lot, it's like I'm so focused on, what is Melissa so upset about? And I walk in and she said, "Oh, come this way, I'll show you." And then I walk in the fellowship hall and it's packed with people.
Now you talk about secrets. You guys can you Baptists can keep a secret.
That's pretty good. I had no clue.
That is funny. Well, that's a good one. That was a good one.
It was amazing.
Now
I can't believe it's been so long ago. How many birthdays have passed since then?
What was one of your biggest challenges as a pastor?
Oh, without doubt, the pandemic was the biggest challenge of all. I've had big things we've done. I mean, we started in Bloomfield, where I came from, where I served First Baptist Church. We built a $1 million building together.
Really?
Which was a huge, enormous project take on, a Christian Life Center that became the home for our daycare and our preschool and
what year was
gymnasium.
That?
This was back in 2005, 6, 7, that kind of time frame.
Okay. It'd be $2 million today.
Oh, easy. Yeah. Easy. And you would have been involved in the project somehow. That was huge. Getting the daycare started was huge. But the pandemic was the biggest, hugest thing I've ever been through as far as curveball, as far as the enormity of that situation, of not having any kind of training as far as what do you do when you're faced with all of these decisions all at once, shutting down, going to online worship only, the technology involved with that, being cut off from people.
And the fear.
The fear.
People are scared to death.
They're scared. They don't know what to do. But so much of ministry, so much of being a pastor is being connected with people.
Right.
And suddenly you can't go to the hospitals.
Yes.
You can't go to people's homes. I mean, you're just cut off.
What'd you do?
Well, it became a lot more about phone calls and a lot more about text messaging and a lot more about Zoom meetings.
Right.
And, you know, connecting that way. We did some Bible studies on Zoom and we did just try to keep people connected that way. But that was the toughest. And of course, coming back from that, seeing the effects it's had, not just on First Baptist, but on the church with a capital C, so many folks haven't come back.
Right.
And may never come back. I don't know.
That being said, all right, I would like to comment on something that I discussed with you a week ago, I think, maybe or so. We were talking.
Yeah.
And the importance of inviting people back to church, friends, your family members.
Yes.
You know, because COVID affected me too. I didn't go to church for a while because of that. Yeah. It took me a while to come back, but
a lot of folks got used to watching church, you know, and they're in their pajamas on Tuesday afternoon or something. You know, they have to be there on Sunday morning.
I would like for you to share your pitch on inviting people back to church.
Well, I think, and what we talked about before is what survey after survey has found, or, you know, Barna Institute and all the surveying they do for churches, what they have found is, you know, certainly the pastor's preaching is important, the style of music in the church is important, the kind of children's ministry or youth ministry they have is important. All that stuff is important. But the number one factor in getting people to come to visit a church or connect with a church is the personal invitation of the people who attend the church to their friends, to their neighbors, to their unchurched family. Personal invitation is absolutely number one. Come to church and I will sit with you and make you feel at home. And I think as far as the church rebuilding, and First Baptist is going to be an exciting time here because, I mean, they've had me for 13 years. They love me, but I think they're ready for something new, and I'm ready for something new too.
Right.
So they're going to get an interim, and the interim will be here for a few months while they're searching for the pastor, and then they'll have a new pastor. And there's a lot of hope that when the new pastor comes, that person will have new ideas and fresh energies, and which they will. But that doesn't change that in the end, it is about who did you invite to come, and who did you, and that has to do with how excited are you about Christ and wanting people to be connected to Christ, and how excited are you about your church and wanting them to be a part of your church?
And community,
right.
Being community.
The reconnecting, and that's why I think our dinner church experience has been such a neat thing, because it's given people a chance, because when we wanted to really start, it was when COVID came along and you couldn't gather anymore. So that's been about people.
Well, let's talk about your dinner church.
Yeah.
Tell us how that came about.
Well, we just felt led that the church needed to be out more in the community, connecting more with people in the community, because there's so many folks in Jerseyville or Jersey County who are not churched, who are not connected to a church. And as much as we put on our programs and advertise and say, hey, we're here every Sunday at 9:30, a lot of folks just don't pay attention to that at all. You could ask people in the town today, if you went out anywhere and said, where's First Baptist Church? A bunch of folks couldn't tell you where it is. And it's been there for, over 100 years. You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, so the idea was, was with this dinner church movement, you go out in the community, you find a neutral location.
Right.
And we were blessed to have the Fireman building.
Yeah.
And you just start a Wednesday night meal. And it's free, and you invite anybody who wants to come. And you have the meal, and you tell a story about Jesus, and you have prayer, and you build relationships. And it absolutely just took off.
Yeah.
Until we'd packed the Fireman building to the point where it was uncomfortable to be there.
Right.
And so we moved to the church.
Now it's at First Baptist Church.
Now it's at the church on Pearl Street. In the fellowship hall, right. And it's just thriving.
How many people are coming?
It's not unusual to have 80 to 100.
Yeah.
On a typical Wednesday night.
People should, if they hear this, they are invited. They can come to that.
Absolutely.
And you want them to come.
And we do let them know, you know, what's going on at First Baptist the rest of the week and what goes on Sundays. We bring copies of the newsletter down so folks can take that home. And the cool thing has been we've had a lot of folks who started coming to the Fireman building on Wednesday nights who then started coming to First Baptist on Sunday mornings. And I'm baptizing at least two of them this Sunday.
Well, good for you.
So we've had we've had significant growth in the church, not just numerically, but I think growth missionally in terms of the way we're connected to the community, the way we're perceived in the community. I think people are aware of First Baptist a lot because of the dinner church movement and what we're doing with that on Wednesday nights.
Now, is the JCMA, is that part of that? Or what's...
No, okay, that's not... It's really a First Baptist mission. We have a lot of other churches that have people that come. But the Jersey County Ministerial Alliance has been an important part of my journey here in terms of working with...
Jersey County Ministerial Alliance. Okay.
Right, and that's one of the mainline denomination churches here in town, the Methodist Church, Presbyterian, Baptist, Lutheran, Peace United. And all those churches have gone through a lot of changes, and some were full-time when I came, and they're now part-time. But when I first came, it was a very active, thriving group, very ecumenical, and one of the main things we did was to start the summer food program, and we realized that there were so many kids in the area who were on the free and reduced lunch, you know, school program, and for meals, and during the summer, you're wondering, how do they get fed? Are they okay? And so we started, each of the churches would take 2 weeks, and in the fellowship hall of our church, and they would come, and we'd fix a hot lunch every Monday through Friday all summer long. And when that had come full circle, then we started taking sack lunches out in the parking lot at the library, out at the park by the pool, and just handing out lunches. Anybody that wanted one. And that was really a cool thing. We did baccalaureate for a long time for the graduating seniors, and we had community Thanksgiving services. That's not what we do now. And COVID was a big part of that. COVID was very hard on organizations and you know, that kind of thing. But my colleagues being in, that's very important as far as the pastor's journey, is to have other pastors that they are friends with. And you've got Bob Taylor, who's the pastor of the Methodist Church, who's also retiring on June 30th. And you've got Jeff Steele, who's one of the faculty members at Principia College, who's been a part of our group, who's also retiring this month. And
everybody's
we're all kind of
a lot of job openings.
We've all timed out or something. Hey. So a lot of transition going on right now in Jerseyville.
Hey, what's on your list? What are you going to do now that you're retiring? What's going to happen with you?
Well, my wife and I are committed to just really laying low for July.
Good luck with that.
Just like if we can, laying low, doing a little traveling maybe.
Oh, good.
Then we don't plan to stay in Jerseyville long term. We think we're gonna be moving to a different area of the state probably. So we're gonna be getting our house kind of ready for transitions and changes and that kind of stuff. And we're kind of waiting to see where my son's gonna locate
Kind of relocate.
Cyber, yes,
with
right.
Your son,
because my wife has a part time job with our American Baptist region, Great Rivers region, and she'll still keep that part time job. And that's sort of centered in Springfield in that area. So
how about this dinner church consulting job?
That's a deep topic, right? I think one of the reasons that God opened the door for us to be focusing on dinner church for the last 2 years of my ministry here was not only to have something very significant happen for First Baptist, you're looking for some way to gain some traction after COVID, and this has been what's done for us. But it was also to prepare me for future things. And my love for Dinner Church has just been, I just think it's the greatest thing ever come along. So I've been in conversation with the national leaders, some of the national folks from Dinner Church, about doing some consulting work with them
after my retirement, going to churches so they can be successful doing that. We've had
other churches come and visit our Dinner Church to see what it's like. And I've met with their leaders to talk about how we got it started and all that. And I just find that absolutely thrilling. You talk about things that make you happy, doing stuff that makes you happy and joyful. I love ministry and pastoring,
uh-huh.
but there are some things I'm not going to miss about the day-to-day responsibility, all the meetings and all the people issues and all the, you know, all the demands of your time and energy. And you never feel like you've pleased everybody, and you can't, of course. I'm a people pleasing kind of guy, but at the end of the day, that doesn't happen. So you got that going on. But I'm ready for a different rhythm to my life, just as I think the church is ready for a different rhythm in their lives. And so Dinner Church is, I think, where a lot of that's going to be.
Well, I'm sorry to say we ran out of time.
What? We just got started.
No.
Ask me some more of those questions.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to let you go out in the world a little bit as a free man.
Thank you
and
so much.
And then I'm going to bring you back.
Fine.
And we're going to talk about what happened.
I'll be around Jerseyville
Before you leave town.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Chris, I appreciate it. I've enjoyed it so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We cannot forget about the community reception Sunday, June 23rd, 2 to 4 p.m. at First Baptist Church.
Yes.
To see your farewell.
Anybody that wants to come is welcome to come between 2 and 4. There'll be goodies. And my wife, Patty, will be there. My kids, Adam and Liz, will be there, too. And we'd love to see folks. Anyone. I mean, we've had a lot of great community connections over the years, too. Not just
sure.
The church. But so we'd love to have folks come and join us.
All right. Remember that. Sunday, June 23rd.
See
2 to 4 there.
First
2
Baptist
to 4
Church, 200 West Pearl Street, Jerseyville, Illinois. There you go.
Oh, I know where you got it. We can maybe get a job in radio.
WJVM.